Welcome to Beaver Lodge Alliance's sermon podcast. We're so glad to join you. This is the latest sermon. We pray that you would receive encouragement, exhortation, and that Jesus would speak to you through this sermon. Enjoy.
Thank you so much, Amy. One of your speakers said, when you get to be introduced by Amy, it sounds better than you really are. So thank you, Amy, for that. And yeah, she's a little impressed because I'm old, and that's why it's taking me a while. I'm over 60, and I'm trying to do papers, and I hadn't done them for eons. And so that whole core training has been a challenge, but I'm very grateful that the Lord has given me the opportunity to do that. And thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to come back to Beaver Lodge. As Amy said, I was here as a child, and then my late husband and I were here when we were in Mexico City. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to come back and share with you this morning. Well, it happened in Buenos Aires, Argentina. I was there as a global partner or a international worker, and we're not supposed to use the word missionary anymore, but that's what I was, with the Canadian Christian and Missionary Alliance on a church planning team. Well, our strategy at that time was to have a campaign, an evangelistic campaign, and then after that campaign right away, there would be discipleship events. Well, we were going into one of these campaigns, and I decided that I should fast for this. Well, I was about a day into the fast when all of a sudden I sensed this need to start confessing. And it was like God started doing this open heart surgery on me without anesthetic. And all of a sudden, all of this bitterness was coming out, and I started writing these letters of apology, and finally I said, stop, God, like, what is going on? Where is this coming from? And I sensed that the Lord said to me, you don't believe that I love you. How are you going to believe that anybody else loves you? And so, you see, here I was. It was rather ironic because I was an international worker, as I said, going to tell people of the love of Jesus. And I wasn't fully convinced that I was loved because I looked to people to affirm that I was really loved. And if they didn't do it right, then I was offended and the bitterness went down deep. Well, I don't know if that's like you, but you have been studying Ephesians, and it's a wonderful book. And we're going into Ephesians chapter 5, but obviously Ephesians chapter 1 to 3 is before 4 to 6. But I was trying to live Ephesians 4 to 6. Yes, I knew Jesus. I'd had many wonderful experiences with Jesus, and I knew he loved me, but I didn't know he loved me. And so many times we here in the North, we're independent, we can do things, we're hard workers, we're really good at doing things, not so much about what's going on inside and being. And so I was trying to live out Ephesians 4 to 6 without really understanding the depth and believing the depth of what Ephesians 1 to 3 says. So if you haven't been here for the series, I recommend that you go back and listen to some of those sermons or at least read it, because Ephesians chapter 1 is absolutely packed full of what we are in Jesus Christ. And then the prayers that Paul prays in chapter 1 and then chapter 3, they are just beautiful. And so today we're going to continue on that journey. But I want you not to be overcome. There's a lot. Like, we've got 20 verses to go through. So I hope you don't have plans for lunch. just kidding. So maybe not. Anyway, verses 1 to 20, there's a lot in there. But just ask Jesus, what is that one thing that you and I need to work on this coming week? So let's pray. Father, you are so good. Thank you that you are very present here this morning, and we've already sung thanks to the worship team and the giftings that you've given them. Thank you that our focus has been on you, that you are that friend, that you are our only hope. And so, Jesus, as we go into this, may the spirit of condemnation be gone. May we only hear your voice that leads us into all truth. And may we not be overcome with all the details and the nuances of this passage, because it is truth. But Jesus, you are working in us to form you like you. And so Jesus, as we believe in that deep love that you have given us and all the spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, Father, may we go deep with you, and may then our actions and our speech and the way we live be a reflection of what's going on inside of us. So thank you, Holy Spirit. Take these words, form them into our lives, and translate them into each person's life as needed. And so we lift it up to you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm just going to, you have had really good speakers. I've listened to some of them, and the background that you already have, I trust that you would remember. And if you haven't been here, go back and learn about where the city of Ephesus was, who was there, what kind of people they were. But just quickly, this is a review of what has gone on in the past. In chapters 1, we begin the divine purpose that God had in Christ. And he has this beautiful prayer. Pray it for each other. It's wonderful. Then he steps into the fulfillment of that purpose through Jesus, by salvation by grace, reconciliation of the Jews and the Gentiles, the uniting of all of us in the one household, the revelation of God's wisdom through the church. Then another excellent prayer that we should be praying for each other. And then he goes in chapter 4, he starts in the practical ways to fulfill God's purpose. And that's through the church, us, the unity and maturity. And today we're landing on the renewal of the personal life, where we are today. So let's go into Ephesians chapter 5. So if you have Bibles, I invite you to take them, whatever form that takes. And we also will have it behind us. There you go. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Now, when I read that, imitate God, I almost laughed. I mean, here we are, like Paul, could you make the bar any higher? Like God is up there somewhere, and you want me down here to imitate that. I could follow you better when you said, imitate me as I follow Jesus, because at least you're a human being. But let's remember Ephesians 1 to 3. I want to remind you, I got to remind myself, that we have all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. We are adopted, we're loved, we're chosen. We were chosen before the foundation of the earth. And it just goes on and on and on. That's who we are. It even says that we're faultless before him. It's like, give your head a shake, because we all know. But we're down here, God is up there, and we're called to imitate him by following Jesus' example. And so that's called a whole process in there. He doesn't expect us to be right up there. It also is a call to action, and it's a call to not compare ourselves to anybody else. Because we could say, well, I'm certainly doing better than that person. Okay, but I'm not quite Mother Teresa. But none of us have reached that level. We are on our way through a process called sanctification. So we are seen as faultless, but God is working in us the way he already sees us in the heavenlies. So don't be discouraged with that. But then he gives us a reason, because you are his dear children. So thinking about that in 2 Peter 1:4, now I'm going to be using various translations, so excuse me if the words aren't exactly the right, are the same as what you may be reading. I'm using the New Living and the NIV and the Message. But in the New Living Translation, 2 Peter 1:4 says, "And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you, me, to share his divine nature. So look at your spouse and tell them, you have divine nature. Because we are his children, his dearly loved children. We are partakers of this divine nature. Again, for my own sake, I'm going to read Ephesians 1, 3 to 8. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided to, in advance, to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. So that is who you are. That is who I am. We're dearly beloved. That's the reason, but it's not only the reason, it's the power that gives us to live this way. And then here comes the direction. He gives us the direct instruction in Ephesians 5, 2. Live a life filled with love. So as we walk with Jesus, as we model him, we are to live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. In the message, it says it like this: his love was not cautious, but extravagant. Don't you love that word? Extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but he gave everything of himself to us. So what does that love look like? And I think we kind of know, but in the NIV, it calls it a sacrifice and a pleasing aroma. So what does that exactly mean? What's the difference? It's referring to the Old Testament sacrifices, of course, but to Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. But this, I read in a commentator's description of it, which helps. Costly, voluntary offering of Jesus' life on the cross. And because of that sacrifice, this was a pleasing aroma to how God the Father received the offering. It represents God's satisfaction and acceptance. So how does our love become a sacrifice and a pleasing aroma? Once again, in John 13, 34, Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. So we're to follow Jesus' example. So you must love one another costly and voluntarily. Now, I will self-confess that I really like Hallmark movies. But I realize that that's not the kind of love they're talking about here. That costly volunteer. And on Hallmark, it's all the fluff that happens at the beginning and all the Twitter patters and things we celebrate at Valentine's, but it never shows when you go into real life about marriage. Just goes to the good part there at the beginning. But there is that God, and through Jesus, gave a costly, and it was voluntary, a choosing to love. Colossians 3:12 gives us a description of what that might look like. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, there we are again, we're holy people, we're loved, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercies, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, I really love this line. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. I love that line about make allowances for each other's faults. And in Proverbs it says, love covers a multitude of sins. So we all have faults. And it tells us to not be offended. I'm preaching to myself, to not be offended, because we easily get offended at each other's faults. So let's let go of the offense and love as voluntary and costly. But then Paul goes on and he talks about what that love does not look like. And there is a whole list there. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, starting there, See, I told you, you're getting worried already. How is she going to get through 20 verses? Okay, verse 3. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place amongst God's people. Now, you've already heard about Ephesus. You've heard about the city. You've heard that it was right in a port city. And so it was on what was called the Spice Road. They would bring spices from the east and the north, and then riches would come through the ocean from the south and the west. So all of this riches, and as you heard last week, really good description of where Ephesus is and what kind of a place it was. And there was so all these riches there, but it also brought all kinds of religion and faith and description of different gods. So there was this cosmopolitan place that looks probably much like today in terms of its free love. The Romans brought all kind, like just give in to how you feel. And so free love didn't start in the 60s. It started a long time ago. And so he's saying there, he's talking to them, don't give in to this. And that obviously doesn't mean that God is against sex. Now, if you read in other parts of the Bible, you'll know that. But there's a place for it. It's within a committed marriage relationship. But the sexual immorality and impurity is because I'm giving in to something I want, not that voluntary giving and costly sacrifice like Jesus. So then he also talks about greed. And you heard about the story last week in Acts 19 where the silversmiths started a riot because their economy was being lowered because people were turning to Jesus and throwing away their silver handmade gods. So there was all kinds of greed there as well. Paul doesn't stop there. Let's go on to verses 4 to 6. He talks about obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes. These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. Now, I know that we can kind of go in off balance on this about the foolish talk. But I don't know about you, but every time I try to find a comedian on television, inevitably it turns to some kind of sexual connotation that is not edifying at all, and the language. And so those kinds of things are not to be seen amongst those who call Jesus Lord of their lives. So now we can go on, we can get legalistic about the joking, though. Yet, I know that there is proper joking. I love to laugh myself, and all of us do. So there is a proper joking around. But it was really interesting to me that Jesus also talked about this, and he said it even more stronger than Paul did. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, he says, "For whatever is in your heart determines what you say." And then on verse 36, "And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you." The message says it like this: words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation, or words can also be your damnation. Ooh. That comes a little close to home. So what do we do about this? Well, Psalm 19:14 and Psalm 141 help me. "May the words of your mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord." Psalm 141:3, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." So that is what a life of love looks like and what it doesn't look like. Well, now going on to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. We'll keep moving along here. It says, For you were once darkness, but now you are light." This is the NIV. "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Those words, goodness, righteousness, and truth, are in stark contrast to what we just read about sexual immorality and impurity and greed. But there's a problem or trouble with truth. Now, I don't know if you've had this experience, but back in the 70s, I know that's ancient history, some of you weren't even here then, but back in the 70s, I was in nursing school. And I was sharing with one of my colleagues what was happening in my inner life with Jesus. And as nurses do, nurses are all nice, right? She said to me, "Well, I'm really glad that you have that." And I looked at her and I'm like, in other words, that's for you, that's not for me. So what do we do with a society that has lost its way, where there is no absolute objective truth today? It's gotten even worse since the 70s. It's whatever you feel. Like, I'm even reading stuff that, well, what's real and what's not real? And I'm kind of going, oh my goodness, are we lost? So how do we even live goodness, righteousness, and truth in a society like this? And I think Esther referred to this even last week, in the way we think. Well, I think you begin by reading the Word of God, becoming familiar with it, not just saying, well, my mother taught me, my grandmother did this, and so this is truth. Or I was told at university or in my class, this is truth. The source of truth is the Word of God, and so we need to be in the Word of God. Secondly, now we have delegated memorization to children. And I realize it is much easier as a child. I grew up in the church and I still remember King James verses that I memorized as a child. And I realize that it, as you get older, for some of us, it is more difficult. But as you are memorizing, even if you don't remember it tomorrow, as you're saying that verse over and over and over, you're changing the tracks in your mind. Now, I'm reading a really interesting book. I don't even know if I can recommend it to you yet because I'm not finished. But it's done by a neurosurgeon, Dr. Lee Warren. And he's talking about how we can change our minds and think differently. And it's been proven through neuroscience and the way that they're watching on these x-rays, how the brain works, that we can do this. And so you are going along one track. You have been taught a certain way. You've thought a certain way because of the experiences of life. But they don't line up with the truth of God's Word. And so as you're saying these, memorizing these verses, you're changing the tracks. And you're taking in truth. Another one is to resist the devil. Now, last week, Esther gave great examples from Max Lucado. I don't know how you do that, but if in 2 Corinthians, it talks about taking every thought captive. Well, how do you do that? I don't know about you, but all day long, there's these thoughts. I've been thinking about something else, and all of a sudden, this thought comes in, and it's like, where did that come from? So there's two ways that I try to battle this, because believe it or not, we're in a spiritual battle, and that's where it starts. And so I either say, distracting spirit, I tell you to go where Jesus tells you to go, and go now, and I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind. Or I say, Jesus, that thought's yours. You handle it. Because it's either coming from me and wrong thoughts I've put in, or the enemy has thrown it in. Now that does not happen automatically. I may have to say that many times as that thought keeps coming and coming and coming, and I keep resisting and resisting and resisting until finally those thoughts that are impure, wrong, jealous, envy are gone and I'm onto something else. That's the way I do battle. I don't know about you, but pick a way because it tells us to take every thought captive. And it also says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, from the Message, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll change from the inside out. That whole idea of do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Going on to verses 11 and 13, have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. It's back to Jesus. In 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, purifies us from all sin. So live in love. Our model is Jesus Christ. The second one is live in light. And the Word of God is our light. And Jesus within us is light. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Then the last section, Ephesians 5:15-20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've already learned a bit about what it is to walk in the Spirit, to follow the Spirit, to know what God's will is. Here's some more. Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That section of be filled with the Spirit, I'm sure you've heard this many times, can be translated be being filled with the Spirit. So we have special services, and I want to thank you, Beaver Lodge, because you've led Grand Prairie Alliance in the things that you've learned and the things that you've carried out, and we've followed your example. So thank you. We do follow Jesus as you follow Jesus, but thank you for going on ahead of us as Grand Prairie Alliance. But in that, being filled with the Spirit, and you have talked about it, you've had encounters with the Spirit. Just this last weekend at GPAC, we held the soul care, and that whole idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we have these special meetings where we pray for one another to be filled with the Spirit, but it's not a once and done thing. It says, be being filled with the Spirit. Luke 11:13 says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, I've known this about being filled for a long time, but I still go forward in meetings. Anytime there's an invitation to be prayed for the Holy Spirit, I go, because as you've heard in the past, we leak. And I continually need that filling of the Spirit. But it finally hit me that I could just ask. And just as I fight the battle in my mind with Jesus, I can ask every day. I can ask many times during the day. I don't have to wait for a special meeting or for a special someone to come and bless me, put their hands on me, and pray for me to be filled with the Spirit. I can ask Jesus to do that every day. That was just... That's not a huge light bulb, but for me it was like, yay, I don't have to wait. And it wasn't even yay, it was like, God, why has this taken me so long? Then it tells us to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Now that's quite different from obscene stories and coarse joking. But does that mean, I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Evita, but I watched it, and I had a really hard time watching it because everything is done in song. It's not just a musical where there's some speaking. Everything's done in song. And it's a great story, but it was very hard to listen to at times. That's not what it's talking about. I think there's a heart ready to praise Jesus at any time. And that it springs from knowing what's going on inside, that I am this beloved child. Just like the children told us, like the young girl read the whole list, that's what we are. And we know it here, but pray that it gets into our experience with Jesus and our belief system. And then, giving thanks for everything. I listened to a podcast recently that said you can't give thanks and worry at the same time. Try it. Just keep giving thanks. I don't know where you are with Jesus today. Each of us are in a different spot with him. I don't know if it's in living a life of love. Maybe there's some behaviors, some things that I'm looking at, some things that I'm doing that kind of are in that category of impurity and greed. Or maybe it's the way I'm talking. Is that where Jesus wants me to show love and to allow him to flow to other people through the way I speak? Maybe it's living in that life of light, knowing the truth of God's word, so that the light is in me and the light is shining in the darkness. Or living as wise, not unwise, and being filled with the Spirit because he is the source of all wisdom and Jesus is the true light and he is our example of love. I'd like us to take a minute right now just to silently ask Jesus, Jesus, where is it you want to take me this week? In what area of my life are we going to work on this week? Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you'd like more information about us or find out ways to contact us, visit our website at www.beaverlodgealliancechurch.com. We pray today that you would experience the love, presence, and power of Jesus Christ and then make him known.